I want to begin this morning with a question, just a general question. How many of you are here today, and you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you are here today because it's Easter? Or are you here because you're celebrating that Christ rose from the dead? You say, well, what's the difference? They're the same thing, aren't they? And really and honestly, they're not. The resurrection of the dead of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is one of the foundational doctrines and teachings of Christianity, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, if you don't believe Jesus bodily rose from the dead, if you believe somebody else was substituted there in his place like many other cults do in our day today, and you don't believe that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was there, laid in the tomb, died, the man that had been crucified the day before, you don't believe it, you have a hard time believing it, you're not technically not a Christian. And you can't claim to be part of Christianity because it's a foundational belief. We can't fully understand it. Okay? But we believe by faith because God's Word tells us that it happened. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time celebrating Easter, we're wasting our time celebrating Christmas. The whole thing's just a great big farce. Because from the time Jesus was born, and actually before Jesus was born, it was proclaimed by God's messengers that Jesus would be born of a virgin, that he would be the Messiah of his people, and he would save his people from their sins. And Jesus, throughout his lifetime and his ministry, told people that he was going to die, but on the third day, rise from the dead. Now, either he did do that, or he's a liar. Okay? And it's foundational to Christianity and our faith as Christians, so much so that we take one whole day a year to recognize it. And we call that Easter. The word Easter isn't anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible did they celebrate Easter. We can say, yes, when they went to the tomb on the first day of the week, that was the first Easter celebration. Yes, technically it was, but from thereafter, we read nowhere in the Bible where anybody came together for the specific purpose of celebrating Easter. Easter, by definition in Webster's dictionary, states that Easter is an annual Christian festival in the spring, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. An annual Christian festival in the spring. Tell that to the women at the tomb. Tell that to the people who saw Jesus on the road to Emmaus that day. Tell that to the people who saw Jesus ascend into heaven. Tell that to all those that Jesus came amongst and spoke with. Tell that to Thomas when Thomas doubted and Jesus showed him his hands and his side. That it's just a festival in the spring, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. The celebration on the first day of the week that Jesus the Messiah had rose from the dead, was given authority, and would be with us until the end of the age. Do you know something? That's something no other religion in this world can claim. No other religion in this world can claim that their leader, their prophet, their king died, rose from the dead, and we're going to be resurrected just like that person. There are a lot of hopes, a lot of false hopes out there in the world of reincarnation, reaching that perfect karma, and all that other mumbo jumbo. But there's no proof that it ever happens. Have any of you ever had a tree talk to you? Right? Have any of you ever seen anyone reincarnated to the point you knew it was that person? Reincarnation is completely against biblical truth and Christian teaching, as well as reaching a higher karma. We celebrate not because it's a festival, not because it's a tradition, not because they did it back then. We celebrate that Jesus, the man who said he was the Messiah, who God's Word said was the Messiah, he rose from the dead, he conquered the grave, he was given authority, all authority, in heaven and on earth. And better than that, he promised to be with us. Now, for the first resurrection people, it was more than a formality. It was new hope. It was a living hope that Jesus the Messiah had risen from the dead. So much so that they continued to meet on the first day of the week, later called the Lord's Day. Have you ever wondered why we meet on Sunday? When the Bible talks about the Jews meeting on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, you ever wonder why we meet on Sunday? This is why we meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday to remember Christ's power over the grave, to remind ourselves that Christ has been given authority, and to be reassured that He'll be with us. The same things, the very same things that happened on that first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. Originally in the Jewish culture, God commanded a Sabbath on the seventh day. That word Sabbath actually in Hebrew means rested. And what it did, it commemorated God's resting on the seventh day after He had created everything, that God rested. And the Hebrews, the Israelites, were actually commanded by God on Mount Sinai to observe a Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be holy, a day of rest. There was to be no work. It was to be a day that was holy to the Lord. And the punishment for not observing the Sabbath was death, believe it or not. The Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, tells us we're to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. When the Israelites were wandering in the desert, and God gave them manna to eat, they were not to even gather manna on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be a holy day of rest for the people. And the punishment for not observing it was death. You see, that was the basis for the Pharisees criticizing Jesus. Or one of them, I should say. Remember, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He picked grain on the Sabbath so He and His disciples would have something to eat. The Sabbath came at the end of the week. It came on the seventh day. But after Christ rose from the dead, Christians began meeting on the first day of the week. Because most important to Christians was the fact that the Messiah rose on the first day and lives today. In other words, this is where Judaism and Christianity started to separate a little bit. Even though those early Christians might have been meeting on the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath, because a lot of them were still Jews, they still together in observance of the resurrection of their Lord Jesus and our Lord Jesus met on the first day of the week. In a sense, even though they might have been observing the Sabbath on the seventh day, they began their week praising God for raising Jesus from the dead and giving Him authority over their lives and giving Him authority over their whole week ahead of them. Yeah, they observed the Sabbath, but first and foremost in their lives, to the point of the very first day of the week in the morning, they gathered together, remembering who they were and whose they were. They were resurrection people with the hope of resurrection because of what their Lord had done, conquering the grave. Today we just see Sunday as a weekend. We call it the weekend. If you ever notice on a calendar, Sunday's the first day of the week. We see it as the weekend, and our society becomes busier and busier, and that open spot on the calendar called Sunday starts to get filled in with activities and events. And it's because our priorities are confused, and soon there are no more remembrances of Christ's power. There are no more reminders of Christ's authority. There are no more reassurances that He's with us. Because our lives become saturated with all the externalism of the world. And all of a sudden we start to think that this isn't important anymore, that we meet on the first day of the week remembering and praising God. Sunday just becomes a fun day, or a day off, or a day to sleep in, just another work day. Some say to me, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And that's true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But the question is, Christian, don't you want to? Don't you want to? Penn State fans want to watch Penn State games. Chevy people want to drive Chevys. You like McDonald's? You don't go to Pizza Hut for a Big Mac. And yes, I know some are physically unable to come to church to gather together. For For those who have to work on Sunday, there are plenty of opportunities to get to church, to get together, to celebrate together each week. There's Bible studies. There's services at other churches. There's many, many opportunities for us to gather together, to remember, to be reassured, and to praise God. You see, Christians are resurrection people, and Jesus is our authority. He gives us 168 hours each 7-day week. Don't you want to give Him just 1 hour of it? You know, that's a half of 1%. That's 1/168 of our week that we gather together to remember and to be reassured and to praise God. The resurrection is so important in the life of a Christian that it changes the way they live their lives and they use their time. The resurrection is not a tradition. It's not mentioned in the Bible as being a tradition at all. It's not a tradition. It's a passion. It's a priority. It's a reality that stirs our emotions deep inside our souls to praise God and give thanksgiving. That Jesus said to His disciples, "I'm going away. I'm going away for a little bit, but I'm going to prepare that place for you so that I'm coming back, and where I am, you can be also." You know, that's His promise to His disciples, to His followers, of their resurrection. Now, if Jesus said, "I'm going to suffer and die and rise on the third day," and He did, and He said, "I'm going away for a little bit," and people saw Him go away, "but I'm coming back. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm coming back for you to take you to be with Me so that where I am, you may be also." You see, the resurrection is the hope and new life part of the good news. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate that at Christmas. He died on a cross. We observe that on Good Friday. He died for our sins. Praise the Lord that He did that. But does that mean when we die, we just go to nothing? No. It means by believing in Him, we might have eternal life. And if we can't find it in our hearts to believe and to celebrate and rejoice that He rose from the dead, then how can we believe that anything else is going to happen to us when we die? The text tells us three things that happened on that great day. We see the power of God working, the proclamation of a resurrected Savior, and the promise of His presence to be with us always. We see the power of God, and then that they went on the Sabbath day at dawn, after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, we call it, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, we have an advantage, folks. We have the gospel story. They didn't have that. They just simply knew that their Lord and Savior and friend had died on a Roman cross, in a bloody mess just a few days before. They went to the tomb. Other texts tell us they went there with spices to properly prepare Jesus' body because there had not been time to do that previously. Matthew tells us there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, the angel rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and His clothes were white as snow. In fact, the guards were so afraid of Him that they shook and they became like dead men. They passed out. They fainted for fear of the power of God. So we see the power of God working in His servants as they came down and rolled away the stone. The angel said to the women. Now the women were expecting to get there and find that tomb sealed. In fact, they were even worrying about how they were going to get it open. How would they have gotten past the guards? They saw this, the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as He said. Come and see the place where He lay, and then go quickly and tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead and He's going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you'll see him. Now I've told you this. And the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. You see, folks, life has a way of doing this to us. The surprises in life, the unexpected things happening, have a way of making us afraid, don't they? We fear a lot of things in life. Situations come up that we're afraid of. We hear the word cancer by the doctor. A loved one dies, and we don't know what we're going to do. We get the pink slip from our employer, and we're scared to death of what's going to happen. But you see, as the women found joy that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they had a new sense of hope that their Messiah, who had given the blind sight and had healed the lepers and caused the lame to walk and raised Lazarus from the dead, he was alive. And that meant more miracles, more power, more blessing in their lives. And they were full of joy as they ran to tell the disciples. There was the proclamation by the women. The women were the first gospel preachers to the others that Jesus was alive, that he had risen from the dead. And they did. And the 11 disciples, it tells us, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And some, like today, doubted that it was really real what they were seeing. They doubted that this man could have been raised from the dead. But Jesus said to them, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's our mandate from our Lord and Savior, our risen Savior, is to go into the whole world making disciples. How do we make disciples? That's the struggle. How do we make disciples? The truth is, we don't make disciples. Disciples are made through our witness, through our testimony of what God's done in our lives, and most of all, teaching others to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. That's the command to us by Jesus. To tell others Jesus is alive. We need to obey him. And they continued meeting on the first day of the week to celebrate. We see the power of God removing the stone. The proclamation removing the sorrow and the anxiety. And the promise removing our fears of anything in the future. I'll tell you, folks, if there's anybody today on this earth who should have faith the size of a mustard seed or hope that can move mountains, it's Christians. Because our faith is not in a dead man. Our faith is not in a higher karma. Our faith is not in a reincarnation into something better and better until we reach that higher state of being. Our faith is in the facts that Jesus the Messiah, who did every miracle possible and imaginable to human beings, is alive and with us today to the very end of the age. I don't know about you, but that's my hope. I don't have any hope of ever being perfect in this life. I don't have any hope of ever doing anything great. But I have one hope. That someday, when I lay my head down on the pillow and close my eyes for the last time, I have Jesus' promise that I've prepared a place for you, and I'll come again so that you may be where I am also. And that's the hope of the resurrection. What a great hope. What a great joy. What a blessing that God offers His Son, Jesus Christ, to give us this hope. To allow us to be Christians. And boy, should we be telling the world about that great hope and blessing that we have in our lives as Christians. I want to ask you again, have you come here this morning just because it's Easter? If you have, I want to ask you a second question. What hope do you have when you walk out the door? If you've come here because you're truly celebrating our resurrected, risen Messiah, King, Lord, Christ Jesus, and His authority and His power and His presence. That's Easter. That's what Easter's all about. And that's what we celebrate today. When Paul told the Corinthians about the gospel that he had been preaching to them, he said, "I want to remind you of the gospel, or the good news that I preached, which you received and you've taken your stand. And by this gospel you're being saved. What I received, I passed on to you as first importance." It was the most important thing in Paul's life that he passed on to them. Not that Christ just died for our sins. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. And that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Peter, to the 12, to more than 500 of the brothers, some who were dead at that point, that had fallen asleep, but most were still alive. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles, and to Paul himself. They were living proof that Jesus Christ was alive. As we celebrate today what we call Easter, how can we celebrate without hope? Because, as Paul said, whether living or dying, our hope is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, how overwhelming it must have been for those people on that first day of the week when they came to the tomb and found it empty. But how overwhelmed they were with joy because they knew that their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not dead, that He was alive just as He said. And they saw Him in the following days, and we continue to see Him today because He's still alive. I pray, God, that You would reveal Yourself to all of us. Reveal Yourself through the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we might know You are real today, tomorrow, the next day, and every day of our lives. I pray that You remind us each week on the first day of the week that we might be back together again to celebrate the risen Christ and the hope that we have in our own resurrection through Christ who saves us. And oh God, it might change our lives, that we might rearrange our priorities, and that first and foremost, we might put You, our living Lord, first in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen. We close, let's sing number 310 from our hymnals as we stand together. Thank you.